Parshat Truma, we have the different vessels, different kalim that were created, that were made by Bezalel, Eliyahu, and all of the wise men in the Mishkan. One of the things that was made is a menorah. Pasuk tells us, this is in source number one, you shall make a menorah pure gold, hammered out shall be the menorah be made. Its base, its shaft, its cups, its knobs, and its blossoms shall be hammered from it. 6 branches shall emerge from its side, 3 branches on the menorah from one side, 3 branches on the menorah from its second side. And it goes in details of how it looked, the branches, the knobs, the flowers, all of the cups, all of these, and it should be hammered out of one piece of pure gold. And then at the end of all this, the Chumash tells us, see and make according to the form that you were shown on the mountain. And Rashi brings down the Medrash, the Hebrew in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, you shall make a menorah, miksha te'aseh. And that language, be made, although the menorah consisted of many shapes and form, all of them had to be hammered from the same gold. Nothing could be made separately and then attached. Medrash Tanchuma teaches that so difficult was his feat that Moshe cannot visualize how the menorah should appear. So Hashem showed him a menorah of fire. Even then, Moshe despaired of actually being able to make it properly. Whereupon Hashem instructed him to throw the gold into a fire, and then the completed menorah emerged. That the miracle occurred is suggested by a term, te'aseh, shall be made, rather than you shall make, indicating the menorah came into being without human intervention. And the question we need to ask ourselves is a very basic question. What was so difficult? I grant you, it's hard to make it out of one piece, but Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a Sata Dishmaya. What was so difficult? Moshe Rabbeinu sees an image. He's still, with having that vision in front of him, you know, like Lahavdil, the art teacher that shows this is how it should look. Even with that image, it was still difficult for him. What was the difficulty that Moshe Rabbeinu had in making the menorah? And further, what lesson do we learn from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu had this difficulty and Hashem told him, just throw it into the fire and it will be made on your own? Rabelski in Ene Yisrael develops this question even more. And he notes in source number 3, the precise form and dimensions of the Mishkan and all of its vessels were shown by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, as it's written, according to all that I show you, the form of the Mishkan, the form of all its vessels you shall make. The menorah is different. Not only did Hashem show him the image of a fiery menorah, but the angel Gavriel demonstrated how it was to be fashioned. Ultimately, Rabbi Yochanan declares the golden menorah descended straight from heaven. It's a little bit different than Rashi. This medrash seems to say that Amalek Gavriel Mamish gave him instructions on how to make it, and nonetheless it was difficult that Hashem made it for him. If the menorah was to be handcrafted, the manner of its construction would have been fully understood, and the purpose of Gavriel's detailed demonstration, Moshe Rabbeinu, the menorah's construction, would be clear. However, the Gemara tells us the menorah descended from heaven fully formed. What was the purpose of Gavriel's demonstration? So we need to understand what was the dynamics. What was the difficulty in making the menorah? What was it specifically about Moshe Rabbeinu throwing it into the fire, or the fire coming down from heaven, different versions of the Medrash? What was unique about the menorah? We don't find this by the Shulchan, we don't find this by the Aron, or by the Kruvim, by any other part of the Mishkan. I think we can suggest, obviously there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in the menorah, I think we can suggest that there are 3 major ideas that are found here that we can learn from the menorah. Before we begin our specific study of the 3 major ideas and what we can learn for our lives, I'd like to begin with an overview of a gewaltic insight that Rav Munk brings down based on the Kabbalists. I had never met this idea before. I found it very profound and very, very, very beautiful. And so I want to begin with this, and then we'll enter into our 3 dimensions. The Kabbalists describe, or in Source 6, that the menorah within the context of the overall plan of the tabernacle, which follows the plan of the stages of creation. These stages provide the bridge from purely spiritual reality to the fullest material reality of our world. There are 10 spheres, or fundamental elements, which describe the stages of creation, the higher spheres being the more spiritual, and the lower spheres being the more material. Let's go through some of them. On the first day of creation, Hashem made his creative spirit hover over the void, and he created light. In analogous manner, in the inner chamber of the tabernacle, the Shechina hovers over the Aron, and the Torah which contains is the light that will illuminate the world. So you see that just like you have on the first day of creation, Hashem hovering over the world, Vayhi Or, let there be light, Hashem Kivyachol hovers over the Aron, and the Aron containing the Luchos. The Torah is the light. Ki Torah Or, it's the light. It illuminates our lives. And again, this parallelism that we're to find here really helps us explain the Lamatat Malachos, the 39 Malachos. It's not only the Malachos that were involved in building the Mishkan, but Chazal explaining really the Malachos involved in building the world. And the building of the Mishkan is really building a miniature world. And that's why Hashem Kivyochol is found present. Albeit Hashem is found in the entire world, but in concentrated form, he's found in the Mishkan and then later in the Beis HaMikdash. On the second day, the waters of the upper spheres were divided from those of the lower spheres, the Rakia. The tabernacle marks the separation by a veil, the parochas, the partition, which shall separate for you between the holy and the holy of holies. Symbolically, these two chambers represent the upper, more spiritual spheres, Kodesh Kedashim, and the lower, more physical spheres, just the Heichal, right, where the Kohen was able to go at any time. On the third day, the earth produced plants, herbs, and fruit trees. In commanding the construction of sanctuary proper, the first sacred object the Torah required was the Shulchan. It urges man to sanctify the food that nature offers him. On the fourth day, the lights in the firmament appeared, corresponding to the seven-branch menorah of the tabernacle, symbolizing the light of Torah and mitzvos in man's daily life. On the fifth day, the animals were created. This corresponds to a sacrificial altar, which consecrates to God our animal instincts by transforming them into a sweet fragrance to Hashem. On the sixth day, man was created. The mortal and spiritual perfection that man aspires to is represented by the Kohen Gadol. His existence is consecrated to the service of God, and he devotes himself, heart, and soul to sanctuary. Lastly, which is really Parsha Tetzaveh, which is the big day Kohen. And lastly, the Holy Shabbos is meant to realize the ideal of holiness in the dimension of time, Kedushas HaZman. It finds its necessary completion in the sanctuary, which sets up the same ideal and dimension of space, Kedushas HaMakom. And which is interesting also, if you take a look at the continuation of the Parshios, Parsha Kitisa begins with the Inyan of Shabbos. So again, you see that the way the Parshios are developed, first the details of the Kalim in Parshas Truma, then to Tzaveh, the Big Day Kohen Gadol, and the consecration of the Kohen, which is the person, and then Parsha, the end of that continues into the beginning of Parashat Kitisa, and then it talks about V'shavur Bnei Yisrael to Shabbos, because Shabbos is really the ultimate in the completion of the Mishkan, in the completion of Hashem's desire to have Kedushas HaMakom parallel in Kedushas HaZman. So we see here, my friends, that when we're learning about the items found in the Mishkan, we have to really understand that what we're learning about is really the fundamentals of what creation is about, and that there's a tremendous amount of symbolism found here, and we can't just gloss over it. Oh, this is a measurement, and here's the measurement. What we're really finding here is the recreation of the world and all that it entails. Good. We can now begin to be able to appreciate, on level one, what was the menorah about. So, Rav Ben Zion, Zach Satzal, and Menachem Zion also gives us first a global overview and then centers in on the menorah. He speaks about the Aron was a place that the symbol of Torah study. Then you have the Shulchan, the next that's mentioned, which is the Semel Shulchan Yudi, Shemitzdayim B'divrei Torah Nemrim Alav. The Shulchan represents the Jewish people who sanctify their table by having Divrei Torah at their meals, sanctify their table by inviting in guests, and we know that the table becomes a kapara, becomes a forgiveness for a person. Just as recently as Rav Freisfeld Tzatzal, who wanted, you know, part of this table to be made as this coffin, that the table is where we study, where we do mitzvos. This is our ticket into Olam Haba, that these are the mitzvos that can be happened. And how careful we have to be. You know, we're very careful about having guests for Shabbos and, you know, making it look so beautiful, we have to keep in mind that Hashem is always our guest at our table. And had to make him feel comfortable at our table. We're saying brachos appropriately, making sure the kashrus of the food is appropriate, as well as saying divrei Torah. And we have to have that mindset, that our shulchan has to be a shulchan gavoa, has to be a table that a Kadosh Baruch Hu kedusha sachila. In fact, the Mekubalim say that a person is judged every day. When is a person judged? At the time that they eat. So we see clearly that this is a time of din, this is a time of judgment. So it behooves us to be able to eat in a manner that's going to bring about a tremendous amount of rachamim. Divrei Torah, words of Torah, being patient with people at our meal. Right, dinner time is always, particularly if you have a lot of little ones, you know, this one doesn't like this food and that one doesn't like that food, it can become a little bit of a havoc zone. So this is the time to really say that this is a time of judgment and I am going to be on my best behavior. And cereal milk is always a solution. Continuing with the Mizbeach Shel Zahav and then the Mizbeach of Nechoshet, this Mizbeach represents Klai Yisrael's ability to give of themselves completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we're not only talking about the sacrifices of the animal, but it represents Klai Yisrael's sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and unfortunately it was in the form of individuals themselves who were ready to die on Kiddush Hashem. This is all found in what the Mizbeach symbolizes. And then we get in 8 to the asterisk to the menorah. The Or HaMenorah Shimesh Semel Achid Shal Am Yisrael Latzeit Mikvulotav Mitzuntzamim L'Kayem Et HaTudah Miyuedet Lo. The menorah represents the fact that we have to be able to leave our narrowness and be able to do our job in this world. Ani Hashem Kasicha V'Tzedek V'Chazek B'Yadecha V'Tzarcha V'Tnecha L'Vrit Am L'Or Goyim. We are created to be a light unto the nations. The menorah symbolizes our ability to take our specialness, to take our uniqueness, and be able to shine it into the world. Ki or Yisrael Yisrach lo'olam lo'netzach nitzachim. We will be around forever. And Am Yisrael mutal tafki gadol biyoter lavik et ha'or l'chol la'olam lo'o. Yoshvei choshech v'tzamavet. Our job is to be able to ignite the world which is living in darkness and to be able to give them clarity of what the world is about. L'ficha chaitak komat ha-menorah gdola yoter mishar ha-kelim shel mishkan p'nima. That's why the menorah was the tallest of all the other kelim, because it represents that we are the Am HaNefchar, we are the chosen nation. We are the ones who have to be able to share who and what we are to the other nations. And indeed, as he goes on in source number 9, beginning in Parashat Tetzaveh, we know that what oil was used for the menorah was the oil that was katit lama'or. It's the first oil that is pressed. Klai Yisrael are going to be oppressed in the nations. The darkness of the nations are going to try to snuff out our voice. They're going to try to snuff out our morality. They're going to do all that they can that there shouldn't be a light in this world. Jews create a moral conscience that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. They don't want to live up to that moral conduct. And therefore, they would rather just to get rid of the Jews and get rid of this light so they can live in darkness without anyone bothering them. And he notes that the menorah, this is in the asterisk in 9, is a semel of Medinat Yisrael. It's the emblem of the Jewish state. And there's a lot of Torah on this. Rabbi Monk, if we go back for a moment in source number 6, he says, the people of Israel adopt the menorah as its emblem, for it represents what is most characteristic in us, the illumination of Torah, radiant amid the darkness of the human spirit. Right? And that's, again, the idea of Titus, putting that on the arch of Titus, that this is what they felt, that they have taken away our Torah. The Rav Zaks lived at the beginning of the State of Israel, notes in the asterisk in 9, that it also forms another nation, another aspect for us. It screams to us, don't become like the nations of the world. Recognize as the emblem of the State of Israel that we are unique. Don't try to become like a nation like all other nations, a country like all other countries. The emblem of the menorah, aside from being obviously the light of Torah, which is clear, it also is that we're the light to the rest of the world. It's not like we should become like the rest of the world. The rest of the world should become like us. We have to maintain certain standards, certain moral conducts that makes us unique, that makes us stand out, that we're proud of. And the aura of the menorah, this emblem of the menorah, reminds us of our unique mission in this world. With this in mind, we understand that the first image of the menorah, of the three that we're going to be looking at in Mirtz Hashem, is the image that the menorah represents, that we are the Or Lagoyim, we are the light unto the nations, and to be this light is going to be difficult, it's going to be katit lama'or, we're going to be oppressed a lot. And with this in mind, the Tzitchel Yon quotes the idea based on the Chavetz Chaim in source number 10. He first and foremost notes, and the asterisk in 10, the Zohar Kadosh writes that Hashem commanded Tzivat HaMalachim Lasot Menorah Berakia. We know that there exists like a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata, Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, a temple below and a temple above. And the items that were found in the temple below are found on the temple above. We know this idea that there's a Mizbeach, that sacrifices are made on it, whatever that concept is, we're not getting into today. But there is a menorah above as well. When the Kohen would light the candle down here, the candles down here, the Malachim would light it up in Shemayim. And the Sfarim said this exists on Hayom Hazeh. Every time we light Chanukah Licht down here, simultaneously there's the Chanukah Licht going on in Shemayim. That's why Chanukah has such a tremendous koach, such a tremendous power. And then he notes that this is what was the difficulty that Moshe Rabbeinu had. He says, Ribono shel Olam, Ech yachol ani lasot menorah basmakah remira? How can I light this, make this this menorah down here? Hare atido shel ha'am hu sharsheret shel tkufa rukot shel dam eish v'timur nashan. If the menorah is supposed to represent the eternity of Klal Yisrael, how can I light the menorah down here when I see and foresee in the future how Klal Yisrael are going to go under such difficulty, such subjugation, dam, v'esh, v'timur, ashan, they're going to be consumed. How is it possible to make a menorah down here that shows the everlasting light of the Jewish people when I know there's going to be so many times in history that light is snuffed out? The difficulty making the menorah was not the technical aspect, it was a philosophical aspect. You want me to make something that represents illumination and light that's going to be ner tamid forever? It's going to run through a lot of challenges. Hey Shiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbo said, listen closely, because this answer is so deep, not just on a national level, it's so deep on a personal level. Rabbo said, listen closely, the arrow in 10, Hey Shiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashlech et hazahav la'esh, throw the gold into the fire, Ume'elah ha'tasah menorah, and it's going to be made of its own. Kilo l'mareh ha'dam yishvor Hashem yisbarah. We are not in the position to judge what happens in this world. Ela dafka b'tkufot shel eish nara. It's specifically in the times of the greatest fire. Shelafi ha-sechel doshi ha-hereki ve-vadon ve-ein motzeh mimenu. Specifically in the times of the greatest disaster, in the time of the greatest destruction. Dafka misham te'ir shimsho shel Am Yisrael. That specifically is when Am Yisrael is going to shine the most. It's going to be in those concentration camps. It's going to be in those difficult times that a Jew is able to hold on nevertheless. That shows the greatness and the strength of a Klal Yisrael is about. Somebody just recently told me that the Mechutanim's father became religious in the concentration camps. That when he saw how the Jews acted, the frum Jews, he said, I want to be like one of them. It's brought out the greatness in us. It brought out the strength in us. Rabosai, this is so important. Hashem says, what should you do with the gold? He didn't say, you know, put the gold down and, you know, put your hands around it three times and voila, it's going to appear. He said, throw the gold into the fire. It's specifically in the fire that the greatness is going to be formed. The fire, which represents so often the fire of destruction, is also the fire of building. It's the fire of rebirth. It's the fire of creativity. And my friends, this is so true. We know this. For people who go through nisyonos, who go through challenges in life, lo aleinu, and oftentimes these are challenges that we don't ask for. These are challenges that come as left curveballs in our lives. But we have to hold on and understand that those very challenges, that we feel like we're being snuffed out. We feel like we can't breathe. We feel like this is the end. Like, how could I go through this? Remember the menorah. The menorah is the model. It's the symbol for all of us. It's the symbol of the continuity of Klal Yisrael on a general and a specific level. In that fire comes the greatness. In that fire, you're going to be able to light the light of eternity. Because that's what creates the greatness. That's what creates the strength. That is the purging experience, as painful and difficult as it is, that makes the person be able to move forward and to grow in the way that they can uniquely grow. Tefkidenu b'zman ha-chashuchim shel dumdumei ikvas ha-chashuvim shel dumdumei ikvas ha-dumshicha. The likim and narata terash shamata kadei shenuchal l'kavot l'shefa or alukim l'malot. Our job is to keep on lighting that menorah down here. Our job, particularly in the times of ikvas ha-dumshicha, in the times right before Mashiach, is to be able to hold on tight. Because this is a time where we're going to be able to connect to Hashem that's going to ignite the menorah up in Shemayim to bring down the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, the Ol Moshe, quoting this idea in source number 11, and this is in the Dan in 11, V'od haruba zeh ha-ge'ula te'aseh me'aleha b'kocho shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. Lo yayetchem v'lo yedei chesed lumim. Ela kesharim b'tfilat nachem ki ata Hashem ba'eshu tzata. And just like Moshe Rabbeinu threw it in and it came of its own. Or like the Medrash that we saw brought by Rav Belsky, Hashem himself brought it down from Shemayim. That's going to be the final Beis HaMikdash. We have to do our part. We have to continue on. But ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash, which was burnt by fire, is going to be brought down from heaven by fire. And that's what we understand. That the ultimate Geula is not going to happen through political means. It's not going to happen through the grace of governments who are going to declare this as the capital city. This is all very nice and wonderful. But don't look there for the Geula, for the redemption. Where do you look? You look upwards. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring down that Beis HaMikdash from fire. And every day we have to, you know, look up. If you live in this country or long distance, and say, yes, today is the fire coming down from heaven. Is the Beis HaMikdash here? Because that's how the Geula is going to come. So my friends, the first level of what the menorah represents the light, the eternity of Klal Yisrael, represents us being the Or LaGoyim. Represents us being the ones who are bringing and carrying the torch of Hashem. And yes, there's going to be times where we're going to live in a lot of darkness, and there's going to be fire of torment and pain, but through the very fire that we're going to be rebuilt, and ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from heaven. Second understanding. What is the menorah about? So Rav Alpert Nissen Alpert Zatzal points out, he says, the menorah with its seven branches emanating from a single stem and formed in its entirety from a single block of gold is symbolic of the wisdom of Torah as well as the seven wisdoms of the world, all of which emanate from a single source. The menorah alluded to the fact that there is no distinction between the wisdom of Torah and the science, nature. Everything emerges from Torah for the sake of Torah. And that was Moshe's problem. How can a mortal man who is physical and material, possibly grasp such a profound level of unity and wholeness, and fashion this menorah, which is illuminated by the pure light of Torah? When we look at the world, and there's a lot of Torah on this, you see, there's so many disciplines, there's so many sciences, there's so many different aspects in life. There's math, there's science, there's music, there's art, there's so many different disciplines, and they all seem to be stemming from a different place, you know, right-sided brain and left-sided brain, and And the menorah comes to teach us, yes, all of these wisdoms are all legitimate wisdoms. But understand, they all face the middle. They're all emanating from one block of gold. And the menorah, as we know, represented the learning of Torah. They all come from, this is the Hafochba Vafochba, the Kulaba. Everything is found illuminated in Torah. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu's question. How can you wrap your head around it? You know, I'm learning math, I'm learning math. And I'm learning Torah, I'm learning Torah. And to be able to see the integration of the entirety. God told him, according to Rashi, throw the block of gold into the fire, it will be made by itself. How would this be a response, resolve Moshe's concern? The Torah is compared to fire. Lo kol dvarika eish num Hashem. Behold, my word, it's like fire. The word of Hashem, says Yirmiyah. Fire destroys physical substances while also incorporating them into its flame. The more physical material that is added to the fire, the larger it becomes. This can be seen as a metaphor for man's relationship with Torah. For it, too, is like a flame that engulfs the individual, purifies him, and makes him, in a sense, a candle to Hashem. In the process, he grows just as a fire grows when it's fed with fuel. And that's what we have to understand, that all of the disciplines help us be able to serve Hashem better. All of these disciplines are not separate disciplines, but they're all aspects that we can utilize to be able to live in this world with the mindset of how we can make this world a place of bringing Kvod Shamayim down here. Whether it's being an engineer, a doctor, or whatever profession a person is in, utilizing these different sciences, utilizing these different arts, all of them are stemming from one aspect, Kvod Shamayim, being able to bring the light of Torah, the light of Kedusha, the light of holiness into this world. When I understand that this is the mindset of the menorah, it's a mindset of learning, it's a mindset of wrapping our head around Torah, we can appreciate the Shari Chaim in Source 14. He says, "Kamenorah mesamelet et adat." The menorah represents knowledge. Hasecha v'gayon shal adam, the intellectual ability, acuity of a person. Umoshe Rabbeinu nitkashech yitachen shegayon shamala va'or shalamet yelo makom ba'olam hazeh. And how can we, human beings, be able to live and fathom in this world? Like, is it not difficult to take the otherworldly disciplines, particularly the spiritual disciplines of Torah, and bring it down into the physical world? How could you do this? That's why Hashem brings down that fiery menorah onto Har Sinai. It can't be brought down into this world. Albeit Moshe Rabbeinu saw it in a vision. Nevertheless, it was a vision down in this world. We have to be careful with our vision, with our sense of mind, that we use it for the appropriate things so that we'll be able to appreciate the spiritual visions when we see it. If a person, just like, take the sense of taste, for example, if a person's going to, taste things that are going to be very, very bitter and sour, so then you're going to be able to somehow ruin your taste buds for being able to appreciate the finer taste, right? We know that people who are wine tasters and connoisseurs in wine are very careful what they eat, so they'll be able to taste the exact, nuances of the different aspects of wine. These are the people who whine a tremendous amount in life. I can't eat anything, right? Be that as it may, this same thing holds true with our spiritual sense. That if we have to be careful of what we allow to be processed in our mind, what we see, what we work on, what we are involved in. Because the more spiritual mindset and sight that we have, the more we'll be able to live a life of spirituality and be able to see the spiritual within the physical. Now, albeit the people who are the great Talmidei Chachamim walk around with a spiritual, sight all the time, was just telling my students this week a story of Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, who a group of boys went, Balei Tshuva, went to Reb Chaim for a bracha, and he gave every boy a bracha but one boy. And the boy went to his Rosh Yeshiva and said, Reb Chaim didn't give me a bracha. He says, go back. He went back, Reb Chaim ignored him. The boy was very upset, and Rosh Yeshiva said, you ignored this boy. Reb Chaim says, what can I do? He's not careful about basar b'cholov. He's not careful about waiting between milk and meat. Rosh Yeshiva mentioned this to the boy started crying hysterically. He said, how did Reb Chaim know that? You're right. I don't wait between milk and meat like I should. He said, I promise I will. And he went back in. Reb Chaim gave him a bracha. And Rosh Yeshiva said, how did you know? Do you have Ruach HaKodesh? He says, I saw a gedi, I saw a goat on his forehead, and I knew that he wasn't careful between waiting between milk and meat. So most of us don't see goats on people's foreheads. We don't have that spiritual vision. A person who watches their eyes and what they come in contact with and what they think about will have that spiritual vision. So perhaps we're not going to be on that level. But to be able to see spiritual aspects of life, to be able to see the finer nuances of life, we have to be careful what comes in front of our radar. And that's what he says. It's almost, as far as say, like that vision of the menorah of fire. Why did Hashem bring it down? If he was going to make it anyway, Hashem was going to make it anyway, why did we ask this question? Why did Malach Gavriel have to show this to him? Because it's not only for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's for all of us. We all have a vision of that fiery menorah that all of us need to aspire toward. It's living a life of being able to see the spiritual within the physical world. And it's like a deeper dimension of what this world is about. Along these lines that we're dealing with, how do we be able to take the wisdom of Torah down here? Rav Saretskin and Megid Yosef, on a slightly different nuance, says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? He says, the idea of the menorah is the idea of Limud HaTorah. It's the idea of Svaros. It's the idea of having Chidushei Torah. Indeed, we know there are Rabbi Tarfon, and you see this in a lot of Svarim, when he would come up with a new idea that was right, he would say, Kaftor Vaferach, which is describing the knobs and the blossoming of the menorah. That was an expression. You see it in the Svarim today. Kaftor Vaferach. Ah, that makes sense. Ah, that's a good idea. That's a good vor. Right? It's like, you know, and it comes from the imagery of the menorah. The menorah is about Chidushei Torah. So the Lufizen Yireh Levayr Shemoshe Nikasheh Levin Et Musach Shel Chidush B'Torah Hamru Mas B'Avseh Menorah Shekein Chadash Asar B'Torah. How can you mechadish something from the Torah? You can't add to the Torah. So the answer is, even when a person thinks that they're being mechadish Torah, understand, all they're doing is throwing into the fire. All they're doing is putting their mind into a certain problem. But the Chiddush Torah is coming from Hashem. It's coming, you throw it into the fire, and it'll be made out of its own. So don't think that a Chiddush Torah, Chidushei Torah, is something added, something new. It's also coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Your job is just to work at it, to try to understand it, and then it's going to ultimately come from Hashem. And this, indeed, the whole aspect of the Limud Torah is very much found in this process that the Medrash speaks about. We find the same three components, 19, Rav Belsky, represented the menorah. The menorah which represents Limud HaTorah was therefore transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu in a way that parallels the three components of Torah study. First was the revelation, was the form of the menorah, just as the Torah was first revealed to Klai Yisrael Har Sinai. Then there was a vision, right, make the menorah. Then the vision of the menorah's construction by the Malach Gavriel, which represents a method of learning, transmitting Torah knowledge from one generation to the next, Masorah. And finally, the menorah came down in complete form from Shemayim, representing the fact that the attainment of Torah knowledge comes only as a gift from heaven. Your Chidushei Torah aren't really coming from you. They're coming from Hashem. So you have to have the Masorah. You have to have the Torah. You have to have the Masorah. And then you realize that the ultimate learning of Torah comes from Hashem. This brings us to perhaps the most fundamental idea here of Rav Pinkus. And he says here, the menorah in Source 20 was the only one of the kelim that doesn't have midos. It doesn't have measurements. Right? The Aron had to be this amma by that amma, and the Shulchan this amma by that amma. The menorah doesn't have that. Why? Because the menorah represents a person's desire to grow in learning. And there's no measurement for that. There's no amount where you can say, okay, you've done it. You've reached it. Lachain in the asterisks in 20, Hatara lo nitanami dal minoramet samelet koch ha-chochma. There's no measurement which represents the quality of wisdom. If there was a measurement, a person could say, you know what, it's too hard for me. I can't reach that. No. Our job, menorah yadavar ma'od miucha, there was something very special. The menorah was kosher on whatever measurement it's about, because it's about process, it's not about result. And that's what we have to understand. The menorah is about us making the biggest effort we can. And that's the imagery, he says, of the branches that are moving upward. It's that desire for us to try to understand and grow more and more. And here he describes, and it's such a powerful imagery for us to bring to our life. He says, "B'menorah haya davar miyuchad. He hayta mi'irat kol ha'echal." The menorah lit up the entire heichal. The aron was in its place. The shulchan was in its corner. The mizbeach was in its corner. Aval or ha-menorah haya mitpashet b'chol ha-bayit. But the light of the menorah went through the entire room. You know what you learn from this? Kishadam ba-habayta. When you come to your house, a lovely ob'ikar menorah. Our job is to be a mini menorah. La'ir et kol habayit be'or ha-Torah v'chachma, to light up the whole house with wisdom, with Torah. Hu yishtateif v'shiur Torah hitmala'or. You just learned Torah, you just daven, you're filled with light. Ka'eke shenichnas habayit alav lidog shabayit kulo yemala'or. Make sure you radiate that light outwards. Because even a small light is counted as a menorah. And we have to be walking menorahs. Menorah represents the chokhmah, the wisdom. It represents the relationship with Hashem through learning. Anything that we learn, a pasuk, a rashi, a gemara, whatever it is a person may learn, this then ignites them. It creates light in them. And a person should say, well, I didn't learn that much, so, you know, like, I'm pretty small. Like, who am I to ignite? In a dark room, even the smallest light is a welcoming. And our job is to be able to give that over to our children, to our family, that they feel the light of Torah, the warmth of Torah. And he continues, and he says, what did we learn from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to make the menorah? We learned from here what the famous chazal is, Im yomar lecha adam yagati v'lo matzati al tamin. If a person says, I strived, I didn't find, don't believe them. Lo yagati umatzati, you didn't strive and you found, don't believe them. Yagati umatzati tamin. You strived and you found, believe them. Why? Because it's about a matzia. A matzia is found even without you putting in effort. Amnama terusik tarai davar komikudash ko amok shif charles kopa fili deigia. Torah is not something, even if you work the hardest you can, it's not something that you attain on your own. Torah is something that is given to you as a gift. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is being taught. She Moshe Rabbeinu hayal mer, eneni yachol lasota narav, v'gam lo eita lo shifa lasota. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, you know what, this menorah is way too difficult, I give up, there would have been no menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, this is beyond me to do. But you know what, I'm ready to try. I'm ready to take that gold and throw it in. And that's what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wants from us, hishtadel, do your best. That's the menorah of Eish that he's showing you. Why did Hashem show us that menorah of fire if in the end Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it anyway? Because he wants us to have that vision of striving, of that vision of fire, and fire always goes upward. Fire is always striving higher. He doesn't want you to succeed as much as to try. Our job is to want, to try our hardest. And this is what the Tiva Torah echoes by saying this. Uba kol zelulamdenu in the asterisks in 24. Shimadami no yachol likbor asiyah is a davar, habare lo yavo la betano. You've tried your hardest and you haven't been successful. There are no tainas on you, no complaints. Alav lasot rak et she'achol v'kadosh baruch hu kvar yaseh et asher. You have to do your utmost. For Moshe Rabbeinu, his utmost was to take that gold and throw it into the fire. For us, that utmost may be sitting and learning however many amount of time it is. Whatever our utmost is, that's what we have to do. As the Sfarim say, God doesn't judge how many pages we learn, but how much time do we spend learning it. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is so often we feel like, oh my gosh, this is beyond me. You want me to learn all of this? You want me to do all of this? I can't. It's just too much. No, I don't want you to do that. What do I want you to do? I want you to take something small and try that. Try to learn 2 Hilchos Shabbos a day. Try to learn 2 Hilchos Shviras HaLashon a day. Try. You can't? At least try learning one line. Do your effort. And then you will find that Hashem will suddenly give you time that you didn't even know you had. And you'll be able to find the time to do more. The Limud Gadol Hu LaAdam Shalav Lasot Rak Efi Yecholto. V'Ein Ta'ana LaAdam Kesheino Yechol Litzot. The asterisk in 25. Why is the menorah the symbol of the state of Israel? It's a symbol for all of us. You can't possibly do it yourself. Who do you think you are? If you think you can do it yourself, then as 26 says, you're imitating what the Chumash says of Kochi Botzim Yoti Asali Tachayelosa. You think it's the strength of your hand, you've done this. You've missed the boat. If you walk in with thought and understanding that you're the one who's going to accomplish, you're the one who's going to do, it's all about you, then you're in the wrong religion. It has nothing to do with you. It all has to do with Hashem. What Hashem wants from you is one thing. Sarich Adam 27, Lakachat Patish, V'latchil Bavarato. Take the hammer and begin to work. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm for all of this. He was the anof mikol adam, says Rav Gamliel. He was the most modest and humble. You want to live a Torah life? This is the quality you need, humility. Where you turn to Hashem, and this has to be the constant conversation we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem, whatever you've given me is really beyond me. You want me to learn all this? It's beyond me. You want me to cook this whole meal for Shabbos? It's beyond me. You want me to accomplish whatever it is? It's beyond me. You want me to raise all these children? It's beyond me. They have just way too many needs that I can handle. So instead of giving up, you take a look at that menorah of fire on Har Sinai, and you say, but Hashem, I'm not going to give up, because I know we're in partnership together. And all you want from me is what you expected from Moshe Rabbeinu. When things are too difficult, all he wants from you is to be able to take it and take that initiative and throw it into the fire. And then daven and say, Hashem, help me create it. Help me finish it. I can't do it by myself. And notes here at Daniel of Daniel Ochian, and he says, Kachu in 30, Bechol Adam v'Adam Yisrael, Bechol Mitzvah Mitzvot HaTorah. It's not only true of learning, this is true of every mitzvah. It's true of all aspects of our life. Sharein Bekoach Adam L'Kayim Kol Mitzvah B'Tech L'Tal B'Shleimutah. You are so mistaken if you think you can do a mitzvah fully. V'Ad Rabba, Lo Nitzvah, Lo Nitzvah Shatam, Elach V'Rach V'Rach. Kefi Shir Yechoto. All that we ask from you is to do the best you can. You do your effort. You do your utmost. And again, that's the language. Hashlech. You have to throw. You have to exert effort. You have to do. You just can't sit and say, okay, I've done it. No. It takes effort. Hashem wants us to do our ishtadlus. He wants us to take the gold and be able to throw it into that fire. Make that fire. Do all that you can do. Do your utmost. Balutayar Messiah Noto. And you know, you learn this out, a very famous word we've spoken about in the past. in the pasuk, the first pasuk of our parsha of Truma, v'yikhu li Truma, and you should take for me Truma. What? You should take for me Truma? Truma's a donation. You're not taking a donation. They were giving a donation. It should be v'yiknu li Truma. They should give me, not take. You're not taking anything. You're giving. You're giving the donation. The wool, the gold, the silver, the whatever it was. They gave. They didn't take. But according to Sfasemes, this is how you understand it. La miso shalotovar the Don in 30. Ein hadam no tein ma'um. Reality is, we give absolutely nothing. Kol ma'asadam in samsei medinivut libo. Because really nothing is ours. All we have is the goodness of our heart. Ubak dashat kol chelko l'shamayim. And our desire to give that part to Hashem. Hu shamra taravi kuli truma l'kichat hadam et atzmo v'nafsho. What are we taking? We're taking ourselves. We're taking our desire, and that's what we're giving to Shemayim. And this is what Hashem wants. Do whatever you can do, and that's all that we're holding you responsible for. Rabosai, this is such a fundamental aspect of our lives, and this is the power of learning. The medrash about the menorah is thrown into the Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand. He throws it into the fire. You say, very nice, but what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with us? It has everything to do with us. This is the most basic aspect of what Yiddishkeit is about. The menorah is a symbol of light for and clarity for our lives. Don't for a moment think it's about you. And listen to the way we speak. I just did this. I went here. I did that. I bought this. I gave that. I helped. I. Ribono shel Olam, where did he go? Siyata d'shamaya, I was able to do this. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave me the strength to be able to. Do we talk like a yid or not? Is that menorah imagery in front of us or not? The idea of I is kochi motzim yating. You leave Hashem out of the picture. That's kfira, God forbid. About, I had the help. I put in the energy, and Hashem was able to bring it to fruition. Hashem did it. I just put in a little bit of rutzel. And indeed, this fasemis is mamish, the yisodos of life. The Shari Moadim Rav Shmuel, Brazil 31, brings this down. Katab Sefer Fasemis, Shavodas Hadam Bevchime Shusel Dilatata, our only contribution in this world from our point of view is our ratzon, is our desire to connect to Hashem. And then Hashem enables us to fulfill our desires and allows it to come to fruition. And this is the language of Vasemet. Anything good we do comes from Hashem. But then don't ask, well, man does nothing. No. Tshuva al zed, 32. Ki ikar vodas adam. And the asterisk, ritzon, haritzon chibo. What do we bring into the picture? One thing. The yukhuli truma, ritzon, desire. V'adam asher kol megamah ritzono lavdol yisparach shmo. A person whose whole desire in every step of the way, whatever he's doing, is to be the best Eved Hashem he can be. How he can do mitzvahs, how he can help people and bring Kvod Shemayim to the world. Hashem is Baruch Moshiach Lo Shiaseh Mitzvot Samaisim Tov and Karoi. Hashem will enable him to do it. Hashem will give him the wherewithal to do it, the financial aspect to do it, the ability, the brains, the opportunities, etc. The Koma Shadem Osehu Kevan Chayalo Be'at Yigia Kechudo Shamacha Vaydezeh. Ah, so Tzar lo Hashem Yisparach, u'potech lo b'kipitchu shol ula, ad shebali day mitzvah. Hashem will then enable us. But we have to start the process. We have to push the button. You know, it's like the automated system. You push the button called Ratzon. And then everything's going to fall into place. But you got to hold by that Ratzon. It has to be a real desire. And that's why he brings down in 33 the letters, Ratzon. It's the same letters that Sinor, our conduit. Our Ratzon, our desire, creates a conduit through which Hashem can enable us to fulfill that which we want to do. And that's where it begins and ends. As Rav Druk notes, Ki v'vaday ein v'koach adam l'so ritzono yiparach, rak yafi ritzon hadam nigmar matzvam. It's not dependent on Hashem's will, it's dependent on our will. Klamar hakol oseh borei olam v'tafkid ha'adam l'tzov Lulatzot. And Rav Wolpe brings this a number of times in Ali Shur. He says, you know, when a person isn't successful doing something, they say, hey, what do you want? You know, Shemayim, from heaven, they didn't want me to do this. Rav Wolpe says, before you put all the blame on God, ask yourself, where was your Ratzon? Where was your desire? Did you really want this to be done? Did you try your utmost to have this done? Was this your entire Shifa? Did you dive into Hashem for Siyata Deshmaya? Or did you make a half-baked attempt? Oh, let me do this mitzvah. Wasn't able to do it. Guess Hashem didn't want me to do it. It's all dependent on our Ratzon. We, to a very great degree, lead the way. And that's why Rav Reitzim Rosh Sarim notes, when we show this tremendous love to Hashem, Kamayim Apanim Lapanim, Hashem responds by showing us tremendous love. When we show that this is what we want, and again, the fire represents passion, fervor, love. When we throw it into the fire, our passion, our determination, our love, Hashem will respond by creating that menorah, which is a place of fire, a place of continual love, where that ner tamei never went out. A little day where we feel Hashem's love with us. We feel Hashem's connection with us at all times. So my friends, what we've seen so far is two ideas out of the three. Idea number one, it represents the eternality of the Jewish people, represents the mission of the Jewish people, that we are here as an Or LaGoyim. And the nations who live in darkness are going to try to squelch this light. And we're going to go through difficulties. Hashem makes this promise. It's through the fire itself that you're going to be able to have more light. It's through the challenges themselves that you're going to burn even brighter, that you're going to become even stronger. And ultimately, the redemption is going to come from above. That Hashem himself, you go through the process you need to go through, and Hashem is going to bring down that menorah from above. That menorah of fire, why did Hashem show it if in the end he made it? It's a model for us that this is our mission in life. Our mission in life is to be able to go through the challenges in life, to come even closer to Hashem, to be that Or LaGoyim, that light unto the nations. The second idea, that the Torah menorah represents Torah, represents wisdom. The wisdom of the world all comes from Torah, Chidushei Torah, the subliminal, sublime aspects of learning are all brought down into this world. How are we able to hold all of this? The answer is we have to do our part, and ultimately all of our learning, all of our accomplishments in the realm of Torah study, in the realm of Chidushei Torah, in the realm of mitzvot, in the realm of Avodas Hashem, it's all coming from Hashem. Because Hashem owns everything, and Hashem has everything. I can't do anything. I can't lift a hand. I can't open my mouth without Hashem doing it for me. Who am I to fool myself to think I'm in control? There is no control here. What's the only thing that I have is I can throw the gold into the fire. The only thing I can do is Ratzon. I need to do my Ishtablus, and whatever that Ratzon is going to manifest itself, how that desire is going to manifest itself, I have to do what I have to do. I have to go to the doctor. I have to go to the professional. I have to, go through the process with a clear understanding that Hashem, you are the one who's going to bring this mitzvah to fruition. Right? I can stack up my car with Tomchei Shabbos boxes, and you can give me a flat tire. And you can, block every parking spot in front, and there's no way I can deliver it, or whatever it may be. We have to do our Ratzon. We have to do our desire. We have to throw it into the fire. We have to have that Ratzon, that desire of Mesiras Nefesh, fire, passion. And Hashem will respond with a continual fire, with that ability to grant us and to enable us and to be able to see the Siyata Deshmaya in everything we do in life. And to a certain degree, this second level gives us such a tremendous amount of feeling of warmth and love that I know that every step of my life, every mitzvah I do is in partnership with Hashem. Everything that I'm involved with, it's not about me. And I've said this, I don't know, a zillion times. I don't even know how much a zillion is. I have the such a schus, I feel, every week to see the Siyata Deshmaya with this Parsha Shir every week. And some weeks, like this week, was over the top with so much going on in life and having to do another Purim Shir to give Shabbos Avrachim in our community. Two Shirs in 1 week and out every single day. Impossible! There's no way this Shir is going to... There's no way! There's no time! Hashem tells you, just throw it into the fire, Shira, and I'll do the rest. And there you see it every week. This is the mindset that we have to live with in every aspect of one's life. For me, this is like, you know, so black and white, so clear. And it has to be transferred to every single thing where you realize it has nothing to do with you. It's all siyata d'shmaya. Our final level in the few minutes we have left is Rav Dinner Migdash HaLevi. This wasn't the only thing Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulties with. He also had difficulty with the shkolim, Parshat Mishpatim, Shabbos shkolim, that he couldn't understand. And that's the shekel. What was so difficult about understanding the shekel? So both of them was clear. She came in 36. He named Narah Lomer Romezer al Torah Kedosha, Va'ora Mitzamel Ruchniut, as the Pasuk Mishlei says, Kiner Mitzvah Torah Or. This is about Torah, it's about light. Umatai Kashem Moshe Rabbeinu Ketzani Tan Laviv Zahav Shu Semel Achormiyur Felishtabesh Bo Melech Rakli Asher Kokulo Ruchnius HaKetzai Yivatel Zahav Et Ruchniotel Shal Menorah. Zahav, gold, represents Chormiyus, represents physicality. How can you take something so spiritual, like light, like Torah, like wisdom, and put it in such a physical vessel? That's what he could understand. Like, how can you contain it of gold, of all things, those physical? And likewise, for the Machzit HaShekel, how can a coin, something so physical, be a kapara? To be a forgiveness for their soul. It doesn't make sense. To which 37 Hashem responds, fire. Right? The fiery coin, the fiery menorah. Fire has two aspects to it. It has the aspect of one of the arba avos hazikim, one of the four things that causes damage. The fire, on the other hand, can warm. Fire, you cook with fire. Fire has a lot of positive. But domeh la'esh, the asterisk in 37, his spirit, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, gama kesef v'zahav yucholim lito'o l'shtek savot, money, physicality, also has these two sides. Michad gives on the one hand, yucholim heim liyot gashvim v'chumriim, can be very physical. V'aflim shochet adamet, El Talmud Achomer Achor can lead a person to the abyss of physicality. On the other hand, if a person uses their money, their gold, their silver for spiritual purposes, they can be able to elevate the spirit, the physical, into the spiritual. So high that you can have Shechina Shor B'Yisrael. The menorah was the place where you felt Hashem's presence. We have to learn this lesson. We have to know everything Hashem brought in this world can be used to serve Hashem. The choice is in our hands. We're going to utilize the things given in our lives to elevate them. Va'az nitkadesh anu vitkadushu heim imanu. We become elevated. Our physical items become elevated. Oshama nishkach harayim v'tomot hachomer v'anim su'u kol sadim nitzadim. Or are we going to just get so immersed in running after money and getting more and more physical things just for the sake of physicality, and then we and our physical items go down into the abyss? And this is the idea that the Ruach Eliyahu Rav Zvei Zatzal echoes in 38, where he speaks about Kol Davar Shemitkayemet Bo Matarazu V'yotzei Mimenu Kvod Shemayim Kanidrash Hino Mitrabeh Bo Olam V'nishba Mimenu Shafarav. We have to understand that everything in this world is created to bring a Kvod Shemayim into this world, to create it, to bring godliness into this world. Every single thing is created for that. When we utilize these things for those purposes, we bring a tremendous amount of shefa bracha. We bring it as a conduit of tremendous amount of bounty into this world. When we don't utilize it, then we've taken away its energy, its source, its sparks, and we've buried it, betit hayavet. And that's the challenge that we have. Are we taking all that Hashem has given us, and are we utilizing it for the best? And that's living the mindset of this partnership and relationship. It's living the mindset of what the menorah is about, that we are an orlet goyim. Being a light unto the nations is not just in our midos and how we act. It's being able to look at every part of our lives in a spiritual vein. Be able to see the spirituality within the physicality. That's really what the menorah represents. That's what was so difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu. How can all these wisdoms be contained in something physical? How can something spiritual be contained in something so physical? And the answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him is a very simple answer. Fire has both properties. Fire can consume or fire can light. Physicality, we can either be consumed by it or we can be ignited by it. We can bring it to the highest levels. And that's really the challenge all of us have. You know, Pesach is coming up. A lot of expenses. When we buy all these things for Pesach, to make sure when I buy, you know, different outfits for myself and my children, and different nice things to add to my Seder table, that I buy it with this kavana, hineni muchan mezuma, to be able to have this l'chvod Yom Tov. And that this is going to beautify the Yom Tov table. And my outlook when I go to the store, I'm buying shoes for Yom Tov. Being able to move myself in that direction, that I'm thinking along the line, walking down Main Street, in whatever city you're in, and going shopping. I'm going shopping for Shabbos Kodesh. I'm going shopping for a chasna, a chesed. To think along the physical into a spiritual realm. And in that way, that vision of the spiritual menorah that Gavriel showed him is a spiritual menorah that has to carry us in our lives. Where I see this vision, that wherever I go, I'm a physical being who's carrying the spiritual torch, who understands that I'm here. This world is a prose door, l'olam haba. It's just an anteroom to the future. It's just a preparation for the ultimate spirituality. And I'm ready for that. I'm preparing myself here. I'm preparing myself for that spiritual reality by living in the physical world with a spiritual mindset. And that's having the menorah in front of us at all times. You hear also, it should be that the menorah's mystery of the difficulty that Moshe Rabbeinu had should be able to teach us a lesson on how we live a life of taking the challenges that we have to bring us to higher heights. To be able to understand that our job is to try to have ratzon, desire, throw that gold into that fire, show that passion, and daven for tziata d'shamayah that Hashem should give us the ability, the strength, and the wherewithal that He will be able to complete that which we are starting. And to understand that my mission in life is to be able to take the spiritual world and bring it into the physical world by elevating the physical, and that the physical and spiritual will ultimately meet.